will be joining me shortly, along with Robert Pye, who is really our chief researcher in ACI and has done some incredible work in the last year behind the scenes, but he also produces a great website himself, which he'll tell you about. I do want to say, I think that there has been a big shift happening, certainly this week, as we close this week and head into the weekend. I would see a lot of people backing down on the masks, a lot of shops backing down, certainly not being as fascist or dictatorial. I even got an apology today from a shop that I was in, which would be a very lefty shop. So there's definitely a change of mood in the air. We had a couple of court cases today. Patricia McCafferty, as you know, was up in Ballyshannon. She was being done for attending court during COVID and also going out of the 5K. Again, the judge did not want to hear it and it was pushed back. And we also had one of our great young patriots, Dominic Finnegan, who was done for coming up to Dee's protest a few weeks ago. And again, the judge would not deal with it. He said he wanted it to be dealt with today because it has been pushed back, and he wanted it. He was not going to take another day off work to have to keep coming up to the court. And the judge put it back to January 2022. So it's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so thank you for joining me. Robert Pye, just so people know, Robert is a former senior official in the Department of Finance. He attempted to blow the whistle on the last attempted crash of the economy. But I think it's fair to say, Robert, that your concerns were not listened to by senior civil servants, and you've been very courageous in speaking out ever since. And you have a wonderful website, sephaniah.eu, is that right?
Correct, yep.
Where you have put an awful lot of incredible work, especially exposing this scam over the last year, and you've done a lot of our FOIs for us, in which you have helped to establish that the virus, that HSE has admitted the virus does not exist, that masks do not work, that social distancing, lockdowns, PCR tests, etc., no basis in science. So thank you, Robert, for all the work you're doing. What is your assessment now, Robert, of the situation?
Well, personally, I think it's very serious. We have a situation where the entire population has been coerced by the government using, I would have to call it phony data, and I could speak on that again, to take a vaccine, which is not a vaccine, to genetically modify billions of cells in their bodies to protect them against something that will only affect them, if at all, in their late 70s or early 80s, and then only if they have some underlying illness. We're asking people to get the children vaccinated with something that has no effect on them whatsoever and is of such a nature that many top scientists have warned about this. It could sterilize them. It could do them harm in various ways. Now, I'm not making up any of this. You go into the adverse reactions websites. Now, you won't get one for Ireland because the communist cartel that run Ireland have made sure there is no database of adverse reactions in Ireland to the COVID vaccine. So the Irish are kept where they usually are kept, in the dark. But you can get some information on what's happening as regards adverse reactions from the UK and from the VAERS system in the US. And there's also another site which the CDC had to set up, or another database, I'll just backtrack a little here. This vaccine isn't a vaccine. A vaccine works by introducing into your body an attenuated version of the pathogen. Your body, your immune system looks at this pathogen and recognizes it as something it needs to deal with. And the next time your body is invaded by a live or active or much stronger version of the pathogen, be it a virus or a bacteria, your immune system will kick in. But these are not vaccines. They are gene therapy devices. And they are genetically modifying a very large number of the cells in your body. Which cells, we don't know. But we are certain it will affect your blood cells. Now, what are we going to give our children when we don't know what this is going to do? This hasn't been tested. Now, please think a moment. You're giving your child a potent form of medication, and it's never been properly tested on anyone. Not even on animals. Now, there's never been a vaccine given to humans that has not gone through extensive trials with animals. And there are certain animals that mimic or closely correlate with the metabolism and so on of humans. And so these animal trials are critical because they tell you a huge amount. Any attempt in the past to create one of these gene-modifying vaccines has killed the animals. So what have the pharmaceutical companies done? They dropped the animal trials. And they claim they need to drop them because the matter of the so-called pandemic is urgent. The need is urgent. And so we need to bypass the animal trials and go straight to human trials. Now that in itself is a terrible deception for the simple reason that they could run animal trials in parallel with human trials and learn a vast amount. But they're not doing that.
And so you sorry to interrupt you, the last FOI that we did was to the HPRA, the Health Product Regulatory Authority, which is the licensing body for vaccinations and all medicines and drugs in Ireland. And we got a most unsatisfactory response from them in relation to injuries, deaths. They are just not...
They referred us to the EMA database, the European Medicines Agency, which is the European version of the CDC, an utterly maverick organization. Yeah. You cannot get country by country breakdown of any data that the EMA has on its database. So you don't know what harm is being done to Irish people from these vaccines. Nothing. You're kept in the dark. This is criminal. I mean, it's unheard of that something like this should be happening.
It is. It's hard for us to really get our heads around, but
it's very hard because what's happening is so serious and doctors are not speaking out. And this is, I mean, the amount of harm that could be done from this is horrifying. Back in 1976, when they had the swine flu scam in the States, this was an earlier version of the COVID pandemic scam, the 1976 flu swine flu scam. And the president, I think it was Ford, went on TV to get his jab on television just to encourage the American people to take it. They vaccinated, I'm not sure, it was a few million people, but 50 or more people died and they had to cancel the lot. So there was an adverse reaction response. If so many people die, terminate the scheme. It's not working.
Now, these people seem to think they're untouchable. I might just bring John in, Robert, before you, because I do want you to continue. John, what are your latest observations?
Well, mixed. I mean, I agree with Robert. I mean, that's a very good description of where we are in terms of both the factual situation, but also I suppose what you might call the emotional response. You know, his tone is exactly right, the incredulity that accompanies this. You know, and we still can't really articulate it. It seems like it's just beyond barbaric to me. It's utterly unnecessary at any level of real need. And yet it is an extraordinarily reckless thing to be doing. You know, clearly, the least of it, it is, as Robert says, it's criminal, quite clearly. And it's incomprehensible at all those levels. I mean, and some of the people who have been talking about this, Sutran Bhakti and Professor Sutran Bhakti from Germany, and Mike Eden, the former vice president of Pfizer, and Geert van den Bosch, who was also involved in the pharmaceutical industry and has now gone rogue as it were on that. And they're all warning in the direst terms about what this will be, this vaccine, so-called, will do to the systems of those vaccinated and the risk that it will hold, not just for the big people who are vaccinated, but for unvaccinated people who may come in contact with them. That they will be shedding these spike proteins or whatever it is, and we will all be at risk of contracting this mutant version of whatever it is that they're regenerating, with the result that in effect people are going to be turned into bioweapons. Now that sounds dramatic, and I mean, I'm not even making it as dramatic as some of these guys. Mike Eden puts it in much stronger terms than that. He talks essentially of a mass genocide, you know, and this is a man with like a track record in the pharmaceutical industry of many, many years at a very senior level. Having said all that, I mean, this is to take a slightly different tack. I, in the last week or 10 days, have been just feeling, and there's different indicators that tell me there is something happening. And it's hard to actually, as it is hard to describe our shock and amazement and disbelief of what has been happening, it's also hard to describe what actually might be happening. I think it's happening kind of globally, and it's certainly there are symptoms materializing locally, that there seems to be still an almost a panic now among the authorities. They tend to be, now you see that in the past week or so, they're suddenly in Ireland having gone from more dire warnings to now say, oh no, we're going to open up, everything will be opened up by August, yes, fine. That might have followed on from the massing conversion of Boris Johnson in recent times, where he's now just gone lockdown from what and said that he's never going to do anything to do anyone ever again, which, you know, last year, but there seems to be something happening, is what I'm saying. There's something shifting, some kind of tectonic shift in the whole thing that is good from our point of view. And I think that whatever it is could escalate now, from now on, through the summer months, when people, I think when people, you might say, will begin to emerge from their trance, because that's what it has been that people have been under. You know, under no circumstances could this have been imagined to happen in a normatively run society where people were in their sane senses. This has been a mass hysteria induced by propaganda and mass hypnosis. And I think that once that starts to emerge, or people will actually emerge as they would from the most appalling drunken spree and say things like, did that really happen? Did I do that? No, don't tell me anymore. I didn't do that. What, wear masks? Forcing my children to wear masks? Guards? Police going into churches? No, that's it. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to hear. You know, I do get that sense that we're at this strange moment now, that it's, in a certain sense, it's not the end. It may not even be the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. It's the end of the first appalling phase that we've been living through for the past 14 months, which has been horrendous, I think, you have to agree. I mean, it's been, you know, the bleakest time of my life. I don't mean personally, I mean to watch my country in this space and to be so, you know, filled with despair just to watch my fellow citizens behaving like dummies, like idiots, completely people who have been, you know, have been lobotomized. That I think has been the shocking thing. And to see the tyranny, I mean, we've had the thing, I think the European governments have now contacted the Irish government and said, did it like something along the lines of, what the hell do you think you're doing? Like, are you trying to emulate Nazi Germany? Like, that's the vibe. I mean, Italy and France apparently have, because they're concerned for their citizens, being arrested at the airport in Dublin and taken under armed guard to so-called hotels, the concentration camps we call them, and that's what they are, and locked into rooms and brought their meals by members of the army. And nobody in Ireland has raised a voice, apart from us, about this. This is what I mean, that can't happen without a serious... So I think people are seriously intoxicated in some way. I'm talking about like 99.99% of the population, you know, about the same number who, you know, are completely, you know, at no risk from anything to do with any flu, cold, or, you know, whatever, seem to be in this situation. They're very much drawn to this hypnosis and to this zombification, really. And what I do think now it's changing. I think it's shifting. And I think that we are therefore being returned to sanity. And that may well be a spiritual process. You know, I mean, because we have spoken about this many times, that this is a spiritual war. But I think that it is actually crystallizing now at this moment. I have felt this for the last few days. And there are some little signs. I mean, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates. Now, there have been all kinds of explanations going around that it's some scam or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it's when I heard that, I think, yes, that's something. There's something there. Something snapped. And it's changing. It's beginning to change. This is not something that we can predict in any kind of normative, political, sociological, or you know, analytical way. This is something that happened at the deepest, darkest level of the human psyche. And therefore, when it changes, it will change very rapidly and explosively. And I think we're approaching such a moment now.
Robert, you worked at the highest levels of the Department of Finance. What do you think is going on in the heads of these mandarins? How much further can they go with this?
What they did with the banking crisis was appalling. I mean, they were taking windfall taxes and putting them into current spending. That's like, you know, making a hole in the side of the ship. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. That was reckless. And they should have stopped the politicians from doing it, but they didn't. So there must be a lot of people...
Remind people of your attempted efforts at trying to blow the whistle on this.
Between 04 and 05, I wrote 7 papers. I researched these myself in my own time. I took care to word them in such a way that I was not interfering with the policy decisions made by any other section within the department. Otherwise, they'd silence me. And having done that, I sent those papers around to people who either were at assistant secretary level or secretary general level, or later became secretaries general. And very influential people. I tried to get a workshop or some hearing. I got nothing. A wall of silence. The civil servants, the people at the top, they will do whatever they're told to do. They've been bought off. And if you blot your copybook, you're sidelined. So this is happening at the moment. I think it's possibly worse now, because some of the things that the officials in the Department of Health are standing over are borderline criminal. And some of the things that are being done in the Department of Finance to approve borrowing of the order of 15 billion or more for last year, and again for this year, to keep people at home doing nothing, in order, they say, to reduce the risk of getting a virus, that has the mortality rate amongst the small number who get it are so small you can't see it. The HIQA brought out a report last year, the 3rd of July, a wonderful report. They used the RIP.ie figures. They analysed what was happening in March and April. And they published their findings. And what they said was, they actually put in the title of the report, they didn't refer to it as a pandemic. It's officially, in their view, an epidemic. In other words, it didn't differ from all the epidemics we've had in the past from serious or virulent flus. They also stated that all the excess deaths that occurred in March and April of last year were deaths which would have occurred in the normal course in May, June and July. They stated in the report that the deaths in March and April were just brought forward deaths. When you then look at the excess deaths for Ireland for the year as a whole, now a man called Kieran Morrissey did excellent work on this, and you feature that in one of your reports. And I went into the Euromomo website where they also track mortality across, I think it's about 18 European countries. And I tracked the figures week by week for all of last year. And when I asked people, right, we had a pandemic, they say, last year. How many excess people died? Well, firstly, I have to explain the word excess, because people don't, these are difficult words. You know, how many people died over and above those who would have died, okay? And they are afraid to put a number on it. Well, I say last year, zero. So we had a so-called pandemic, but zero excess deaths. What is going on? This is a scam. The government are running a scam. And the PCR test they use for their daily figures is a pack of lies. And there's a scientific paper published by, I think it's about 20 or 24 scientists. You know, people who know their job, who looked at the PCR test and said, everything to do with that test is garbage. You are not measuring or checking for a virus. You're getting fragments of any coronavirus that are in your body. And you're replicating ad nauseum until you find some of them. And then you are telling that person they are ill. But they're not ill. We all have coronavirus fragments in our body. And if you run a PCR test long enough, you'll find them. But you are well. You are well. John mentioned Dr. Sukrit Bhakti there, who's done superb work in trying to convince the world and other people in the medical field that this is a scam and a hoax and a pack of lies. I'm not saying there aren't people who are dying tragically. Of course there are. But what we have to ask is, are they dying in excessive numbers? And are the measures being taken to contain the spread of the virus reasonable? But they're not reasonable. They're idiotic. They serve no purpose whatsoever. Your mask does you psychological harm. You're breathing in bacteria if it's festering and these things. You're reducing your oxygen intake. You do psychological harm to children. And you're not stopping a virus in any form. It's impossible. You can't lock up a virus. What you do is you boost your immune system and you minimize contact with people who you think are actively ill, not theoretically ill with a fake, phony, bogus PCR test.
Well, now, I'd say, though, you'd regret saying that now, Robert, because you're a good Christian and, you know, the very thing that Jesus did was embrace the lepers. Like, I think to walk away from anyone who is sick is, that's never...
We're not walking away. I'm not advocating that. Chema.
No, but any sort of...
I am advocating you quarantine people who are ill or who are very fragile, very weakened immune system, you protect them. That is how we always did it. And we did it because it works. This time...
I'm totally against quarantining anybody. That's my position. I just feel, you know, especially in the society that we live in. But look, that's another debate. You know, that,
well, you
that,
see, you would, for, say, elderly people, you actually do them harm by stopping people visiting them. Because the greatest joy in the life of an elderly person is the companionship of those whom they love. And that's a great boost to their immune system. And when you stop their family visiting them, you're actively causing medical harm to them.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
And we've been doing that. And this is very, very wrong. So yeah. The government are lying to you over the PCR test. They're lying to you about cases. There aren't any cases except the normal number that you get in the flu season. We're not in the flu season at the moment. We had some kind of flu season back in March, April. And so there was an increase in deaths during that period. But as I say, they were people who would have died in May, June and July. And that's not me saying it, that's the HIQA saying it. And they published it. And they didn't call it a pandemic, they called it an epidemic. So
yeah,
like actually then goes on about the vaccine. This is something I'm very, very strong on, because these vaccines, you must think of the impact on your body. When you take something as powerful and as potent as a genetic modifier, they have never been used on people before. If the pharmaceutical companies know what they do, they haven't told us, because the trials don't reveal what they do. Bhakti was very strong in this, and in a recent talk he gave, and I summarized it in my latest paper, blood clotting is a very serious risk. And we're seeing a lot of these cases in the adverse reactions. What happens is, this so-called vaccine goes into you, and it's not a vaccine. It's a gene modifier, a set of genes wrapped up in a little lipid or plastic fat container, if you like. Absolutely tiny, nanoscale. These get through the wall of your cell, and they start to produce part of the COVID virus called the spike protein. Now, the idea is your immune system will say, ah, spike protein, bad, produce the immune response, kill the cell, and whenever we see it again, kill the cell. But as Bhakti says, the spike proteins are going to be generated in billions of cells in your body, and your own immune system is going to attack them. And if a lot of this is happening in narrow blood vessels, you risk blood clotting. And he pointed out cranial venous, without hemorrhaging, thrombosis is very rare. In practice, it occurs about 1 in 1,000,000. That's tiny. In the trials, they had several such cases. I mean, talk about a red flag. And we are hearing more and more stories of women who are having their menstrual cycles interfered with by the vaccines. And the miscarriage rate in the States, the CDC run a, not just the Bayer's report, adverse reporting system, but what they call the VSA. And they're required under the law to do this because the vaccine isn't approved. It's only got emergency use authorization. So anybody who has an adverse reaction to the vaccine in the States must report it. And a team of scientists went through the recent reports for December, January, and a large part of February. And they found the miscarriage rate was staggering. The number of pregnant women who have taken the vaccine and miscarried is by a factor of 10 or more what it should be. It's horrifying. What are they doing? Are we going to give this to our kids? We're going to give this to young people who are at absolutely no risk of getting anything like a COVID virus. Zero. The facts show it. The stats show it. The medical people admit it. So then they say, but if we all get it, then there are no carriers. There's no such thing. And back to you saying this, there's no such thing as an asymptomatic carrier. The very simple reason for this is you only transmit a virus to other people when your viral load is sufficiently high to pass on enough infectious material to somebody else. If you have no symptoms, your viral load is very low and you're no threat to anyone. So this whole thing about being a carrier but not being ill is garbage. It's a pack of lies.
Well,
so people are being so lies on top of lies on top of lies.
It is, absolutely. But it's also an IQ test, and really it is dividing the country so severely. And, you know, saddened to see how many people go along with it. But I find, I mean, I tell people to take off their mask all the time, and because they're behaving so robotically, you know, they just do it. Like, I bumped into somebody
the other day. Woman I hadn't seen for some time. Very affable, intelligent, genial woman. Mid-60s. We got chatting about various things. Then she said, have you had your jab yet? I said, I'm not getting the jab. I wouldn't touch that stuff. She stepped back. She was shocked. She terminated the conversation as quickly as she could. Now, that's the mentality that we're dealing with. As you say, there's an IQ test. I think, too, there's a compassion test, because people are indifferent to the trauma and upset and turmoil that people have had to endure through these lockdowns, the loss of their jobs, the not being able to get treated for medical problems, not being able to send their kids to school, not being able to travel, being locked in their homes. Where is the compassion? This is an anti-Christian program run by Masons and Marxists. And that's what we're dealing with. This is the Antichrist spirit, and it's very strong in the world now. And people whom you think would be compassionate and open-minded are locked in. And the only thought is, I don't want to die. Well, I have news for you. You're all going to die. So get used to it. You won't leave this earth till the Lord says, right, you're out. And these people are going around living in fear and looking for their jobs. And Bakhti makes a very important point. He says, if you've made the error of getting the first or the second dose, do not under any circumstances take any more, because the gangsters who are running the World Health Organization are going to run the next scam, which is the variants. There are no variants. But the variants are so close in structure to the initial virus, that your immune system will recognize them easily. Mike Eden, who worked for Pfizer, is also very strong on this. Variants pose no threat whatsoever. It's nonsensical. And by the laws of probability, all variants are weaker than the original. They never get stronger, they always weaken. That's why this annual flu season peters out. It's because the virus itself decays. It turns into a variant that doesn't affect anyone. So all this bogus nonsense about variants threatening you is just to frighten you to take more vaccines and more doses. And the more doses you take of this thing, the more your immune system will start to cause autoimmune problems. And we're seeing these. If you read up online on the adverse reactions and reports people are sending in of the effects it has had on them, neurological problems, coronary problems, lymph gland problems, headaches, sleeplessness, immense agitation, muscular problems, it goes on and on. Now, if this was safe, you wouldn't be hearing this. So I would implore people, do your research. And I might point out, every medical doctor in Ireland who is giving this vaccine is not insured. Their medical insurance will not cover them for the harm and the damage that these vaccines do to their patients. They're on their own. And if any of their patients have a bad reaction or become injured, and some will die, their relatives will sue you, and your insurance won't protect you. The pharmaceutical companies that make this garbage do not accept liability for the damage. So imagine having a potent product on the market that could do severe damage to people. You haven't tested it, and if it does do harm, you're utterly immune. That's the pharmaceutical business.
And
I might also mention, there's in under Irish law, you are required to conduct informed consent in any instance where you give a vaccine. Go up and go in and check the HSE guidelines on this. They're very clear about it. You must tell the recipient the downside of taking the vaccine. If there are risks to them, you must inform them.
And you really, really do need to serve people with this letter who are involved in the administration of vaccines. Even if you're deciding you're not going to take it any further, you will be glad that you have done it. Because with the passage of time, if something happens to you, you will have served them with liability, and that will really strengthen your case. You're absolutely right, Robert. John, I want to bring you in. Now, I want to discuss the story that you have written, the brilliant piece, John, about this impending hate speech legislation that is coming in. And a couple of people have commented today that this is one of the most powerful pieces of journalism they have read in a long time, but also incredibly depressing.
Extremely depressing, yeah. By the way, can I just touch on something Robert said there?
Yeah.
Just before I come to this, because this goes to what he was talking about there, the HICRA report of July last. I mean, look at the aftermath of that. And it goes to this point I was making about the entrancement. Because HICWA eventually halved at that time the mortality figures, and as Robert says, they actually said that over the period of the summer, these figures would even out, which is exactly what's happened. But the response was by Radker, who was spoken about this, and he said, I remember he made this statement that was like, oh well, we're not really interested in league tables. We're trying to save lives. Now, you see, this is the kind of, this tells you like that in a certain sense, we're not really talking about an IQ problem. We're talking about a hypnosis problem. Because that response is directed at the unthinking, unreasonable reptilian brain in which the fear and all these other things have been stirred up, you know, relentlessly. So that facts and information and statistics and data cannot get through. And that's kind of, to all of this, I had an experience last weekend in the street, a woman who's actually on our side, or so she told me, held me up in the street, like, and you know, I was being polite and all that. But every time I said something about, she was putting the arguments, and I would answer them. But she says, yeah, but what if they're right? She kept saying this, but she gave a what? I said, right about what? And she couldn't answer. And I would say, well, you know, the excess deaths are none. And I went through this thing of saying that if you take March to December in 2020, 2019, 2018, if you said to a man from Mars, I want to show you these 3 years, and you tell him there was a pandemic in one of these 3 years, tell me which one it was. And he would look and he would count the figures and he would say it was in 2018. Because that's when the most deaths were in that period, March to December. Last year was the lowest of the 3 years. So, and she said, yeah. But what if they're right? Well, this is hypnosis. And she's on our side. You know what I mean? She agrees with it. You understand me? So anyway, that's the point I want to make. We're not dealing with, you know, facts won't fix this. That's the problem. Information won't fix this. Arguments won't fix it. We have to deprogram people. somewhat.
But there is an amazing selfishness here too. I've known two people very well who said, for various reasons relating to health factors and risk, that they wouldn't take the vaccine. But recently they changed their minds because they realized, oh, then I won't be able to travel abroad. Now, that is just insane, because if you know there's a risk, why are you thinking of doing something so insane? It's as if they're saying, I play Russian roulette and there's a good chance there's no bullet in the chamber that I'm letting off. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, you're right. But there's also a sort of a one-upmanship that's very prevalent in Ireland. It came in after those awful Tiger years, you know, when everyone was buying second homes and getting decking and jacuzzis and all the nonsense. And then also, you know, the car registrations, like that really, you know, having to have the latest year 20D or whatever. All this snobbery which goes on, especially in Dublin. I think it's tied in with that. Oh, we're having our holiday this year. You know, the Irish have become so utterly materialistic, and, you know, I hate to say it, but there is a sort of a keeping up with the Joneses, and we have to have the holiday. It's that.
Sure, yeah.
Part of the holiday business relates to meeting up with family members abroad. A lot of Irish people have family members abroad, and that is a factor.
I don't know. If they cared, if it was really about family health and that, then...
Oh, I know, but there's a very serious lack of rationality here.
Oh, there is.
Fundamentally, we have to keep coming back to the bottom line here. None of this would have been possible had the media not become grotesquely corrupt.
Yeah.
We couldn't do this unless you were able to commandeer the television. The television set in the corner of every house. If you walk around and, you know, after dark, and every house you go past has got this glow, and people are gathered staring into it, you know. Yeah. It's like another person in the room. It's like the strongest, the biggest bully in the room is telling them, this is what you're going to do now. You know, this is, you know, pot-bellied bully in the corner. And that's what's dictating all of this. And without that, none of this would have been possible. I think that's the level we have to talk about this on now, because that's what's going to unfold. This is going to crack open now.
Can I come in on that, John? Because you had somebody on your live stream some months ago who was imprisoned down in Limerick for three or four days. Dara, I think his name was, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Dara. Yeah.
And he said when he came out, he was very glad to be out and so on. While he was in for the 3 or 4 days, he said, because they had the news blasting for 4 days, the same dire, we're all going to die message, he says it was starting to affect him. And he hated it.
Yes.
You see, if you repeat a message over and over and over, these guys know this. Propaganda works. This is advertising of a dark nature. And people think, well, if I just take that, it'll all be over. No, it won't.
It's the construction of reality, the reconstruction of reality. It's not what we think of in the wrong way of information or facts or discussion. It's actually like literally bricking you into a box of thought into which nothing else is permitted. And it doesn't matter how much what you have going in there. If you're long enough in there, even a week, as you say, Robert, in front of this thing, try it. No, don't try it.
I won't, thank you.
We would come out like zombies ourselves, honestly.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
I really do think that is true.
You know the joke of somebody asked one of the Amish in the States, why do you have no COVID cases? And the guy said, well, we have no television.
Yeah,
you know. And you see, everything is turning into COVID. There are no flu cases anymore. And no pneumonia cases anymore.
There's no car crashes anymore. Everything
and
is
there's
good.
No car. fallen off a ladder, yeah.
The funny thing is that there are car crashes, and there are actually more people killed in car crashes last year, marginally, because they kept saying, well, because of the lockdown, they'll be very low, you know, and they were explaining this is what was causing the deaths to be.
But the way to solve that, John, is to ban cars. We just have to take all the cars off the road. It's worth saving all those lives.
Well, that's
going to
be next. Don't worry.
Yeah. We are doing that.
I mean, a much simpler one, a much more immediate one would be just ban cigarettes, because 6,000 people in Ireland die every year from direct effects of cigarette smoking. So that's three COVIDs a year.
Yeah. And ban fast food. Ban all the burger joints and the kebab joints that litter every single street in Ireland. You go into a petrol station.
It's very important that we say again and again that we know what this is about.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with health. This is all, and we only get into the arguments about the health aspect just to simply show how absurd and wrong they are. But we know that this is a tyranny about, it is about itself. It is about control, and it is about essentially communicating to the Irish people that their freedoms are no longer freedoms, they are concessions of the government. That was the purpose. If you saw that clip last week where Bradker was sitting on the steps of the convention centre, I think, doing a selfie into a moving selfie, I suppose you'd call it, or something. He was going through the latest protocol for the rollout of the vaccine dividend, as it's called. And he went through the various the permutations, because there's different reliefs, as it were, for different vaccines. Pfizer, Moderna, etc., etc. And he went through them all one by one, you know. And he said, now you're going to have to listen to this a few times, you know. But you see, that wasn't really about information. That's saying to the people, impressing on that lizard brain, if you do anything in the future, it will be because we permit you to do it. And that's a radical change. That's an overturning of the entire, like, hundreds of years of common law tradition, in which the message, the fundamental message of the law was that the people could do everything which they permitted, except that which they expressly forbade, and the government may do nothing except what the people expressly permit. Now that has been completely inverted in the space of a year, and that will never be restored. It will not be restored without some form of, I would say, major inquisition of what happened, that we essentially need to put on trial those who are responsible for these obscenities. Otherwise, we will never, ever, ever get back the society that we had before.
I was reminded when I was listening to John there, I attended an anti-abortion rally in May or April of 2018 in Dublin. And I got chatting with a gentleman who was standing near me, who was a journalist. And he'd been in journalism for 30 years. And we were speaking about how the system operates here. And he said 90% of the journalists in Ireland, people who have an NUJ card, they're Marxists. And the 10% who aren't would never be allowed to say anything anyway.
Yeah, they're not committed Marxists. They don't know that they're Marxists.
Well, they are. The ideology of Marxism is fully acceptable to them. So you see, we've gone past the age when somebody put on the Marxist badge. Marxism works best when people don't wear the badge. They start wearing the badge after the Second World War. There were a few loony fringe Marxists over on the left, and people said, that's Marxism, that's communism.
Yeah.
Well, the real communists were infiltrating the government, the civil service. I knew a civil servant in the Department of Finance in 1980. He used to play golf with senior Gardaí. At the 19th hole, they sit down for their drink. The guards would share information with them that, you know, the ordinary person just wouldn't get. A few of them had duties over in RTE. They knew a lot about RTE. So my civil service friend asked, well, what is it like there? Who's running the show? And they said to him, it's shocking, it's full of homosexuals and Marxists. That was 1980. So please, don't say they're not Marxist because they don't carry the card. They are committed ideologically to the humanist Marxist agenda. And that means getting rid of Christianity.
I think to clarify the point, I mean, if you, the most important thing to see here is that if you look at any of the major journalistic courses in third level now in Ireland, DCU, DIT, all those, and look at the list of professors, they're all Marxists.
Yes.
So what they're actually teaching, what they're not going into those rooms to teach under the name or under the heading of Marxism.
No.
They're going in to teach under the heading of journalism. The problem is that journalism and Marxism are pretty much coterminous in their mind.
The values they are being taught are Marxist values.
Yeah,
and they're seeing the world through Marxist lenses.
But they're teaching journalism, but it's actually a Marxist journalism. And they're essentially teaching young people to go out into Ireland and try to change Ireland in accordance with the teachings of Karl Marx, thinking that that's actually the function of journalism. They actually think that that's what journalism is, to tell people what is the right thing to be doing and what progressive ideas they should be thinking and what they should think of the far right and all of this kind of thing. That's what they think journalism now is. Talk to any of them. I talk to them. I mean, I have some of them in my family, God help me. And I mean,
this is what they hate the most.
Burn it.
But the thing about it is that this model of journalism would not survive if people would just turn off the televisions and stop reading this gibberish. I have a hope that it's a slender hope. That out of this will come something like that. That once people realize the calamity that has been, because you know this is going to be 1,000 times worse than the calamity that happened after 2008. And when it emerges, see, we're in suspended animation now. We're kind of on a life support machine, economically and otherwise. When that machine is turned off, there is going to be absolutely blood on the wall. As a result of what's happened. Because, you know, I have a friend, an economist, and he was telling me a year ago that, you know, it was over for the Irish economy at that point. And I don't know what he would say, and I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I can't imagine what he would possibly think about where we are now. How can these people think? How can anybody out there in the street think on a sunny day going around with their shirt sleeves that actually everything will be okay as soon as somebody pushes the button and starts us moving again? This is absolute insanity. And I think that once that happens, then people will certainly sober up then, and they will have time to ruminate about all of this. And maybe out of that will come what we need, various things that we desperately need, in my view, the end of the mainstream media in Ireland, the end of the corporate sector in Ireland. All of these things may flow from what has happened now. And so in that sense, it might in the long run be a very hopeful event in our history.
Yeah, I hope so. And if that doesn't happen, well, you know, we're facing annihilation. That's it, as a nation and as a people. So I think we might, yeah, as much as I would like to continue talking, I am conscious that people...
And I have just one comment before we close. The people who should have spoken out, who should have organised their debate, who should have questioned the evidence, were the priests, the ministers, the pastors. What did they do? They shut their doors. Shocking. I mean, that is sin. If you want a definition of sin, if you're a priest or a pastor or a minister and you lock your church and you refuse to analyze what's happening through the medium of God's word, I mean, that's treason, if you want to use that term.
Silence is compliance.
Compliance. They silently complied, they stepped back and let the Marxists and the Masons run the show. And they're following the international agenda, the New World Order agenda. And it's going to hurt because, as John says, when the economic crash does come, and it will, the pain will be immense.
Well, if the Marxist agenda is to follow through, it is the obliteration of private property. Most of these millennials will never own anything anyway, but they are a lot of them living in their parents' homes. They plan to for life. The earliest opportunity, they'll be dumping the parents into a nursing home where they will be euthanized very quickly. But, you know, their property, the property is going to be taken, and that is very much on the
agenda. One of the pillars of Marxism, and it's in the Communist Manifesto, the abolition of private property. They are working on that. You will own nothing and you will be happy, according to Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. They're laughing at us. They're laughing.
I did politics in UCD back in the early 90s, and that was, you know, that was the core reading material. From the perspective of, we never want this to happen again, I assumed. But now I look back, I mean, I was looking at some of my college books the other day, Machiavelli, The Prince. It was total indoctrination even then. So, you know, can you imagine what it's like now for these poor kids? But anyway, we will persevere. Gentlemen, thank you. John, you're
Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
A work of art and a work of pain as well. Please go on to John's site, which you can reach through my site.
I'm sorry to say that it's only part one. I'm still working part two. Well, that's going to be worse. but we need to be aware. This is unprecedented. Nobody's ever done anything like this before in any legal context. It's beyond belief. They're actually removing the presumption of innocence from this area. And you will be stigmatized for life as a hate criminal, as a, you know, hate monger. And you could do 5 years in jail just for expressing an opinion that somebody doesn't like. That's how bad this has gone. This is the fruits. Sorry, these are the fruits of allowing the LGBT monsters to run riot in our country. They're the people who, well, feminists essentially started this all, but the LGBT people took it to a new level, and now they have the accelerant of COVID. There's no stopping this. That's where we are. People need to wake up from their trance by whatever means, and to get out there and try to grab their country before it falls back.
Absolutely. Okay, well, look, we'll call it a night. Robert, thank you again. People can find you on Zephaniah.eu. That's your website. And
you see all the papers listed up there.
All of your fantastic writing. It's excellent. And you've done an awful lot of analysis of what's gone on in the last year. So, but you'll come on.